So in your bulletin is an outline of the sermon for today. If you take that out, that'll help you track with the points I want to make out of the text. And we're going to use a combination of the gospel reading from Mark today, which is also a parallel reading, is what they're called when an account takes place in another of the gospels. So from the gospel of Matthew, the same story is recounted there. And the words in that gospel say, "She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' And then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.'" So recently I visited my musical past. I did some performing. And when you are playing concerts, it's important to have good technicians that you can rely on to take care of your equipment and make sure that it's working. It really puts a different slant on the performance when you have somebody who knows what they're doing, and it's good to know that when something goes wrong, they'll take care of the problem and make sure that it isn't a problem anymore. And I am blessed to have somebody like that to work for me when I play. And he's got a saying that while he certainly didn't invent it, I associate with him because whenever a problem is presented to him, or whenever I need him to address an issue, his response is always, "Don't worry about it, Paul, I got this." It's so nice to know that I can just focus on the performance aspect of the night and know that the technical side of my gear will be taken care of. When I'm playing, he is the most important person in the room, pretty much, and I have faith in him to take care of and fix my problems. And, you know, on a much more important note and a much bigger scale, this is what the woman in the text is doing. She understands that when it comes to fixing the problems of the supernatural and of sins and of eternal life, she is talking to the most important person in the world, and she has faith in him to fix the problems that only he can fix. When it comes to taking care of these things, she knows that he's got this. She knows who Jesus is, and she goes to him to plead for his help. She realizes that he is not just a normal person, but one who can help her with a problem that is way too big for her to tackle on her own. So for the last 2,000 years, the Christian church has held this woman up as a positive example. And I'd like to talk about how she's an incredible example for us to take note of. Especially since in Scripture, so many times we are reminded or shown people who have little faith, it's of note when we have somebody pointed out who has great faith. So to your outline, your first blanks, when we see Jesus point out someone who has great faith, we should imitate them. We should be like this woman. What made her special? What was so great about her faith? Why is this an example for us? Well, let's start by pointing out the traits that she exhibited. Next blank, the Canaanite woman showed great depth. She was more concerned with substance over style. I mean, look at what's happening here. The Bible tells us that she pursued Jesus so relentlessly that the disciples got annoyed, yet she didn't care. And I think the psychological aspect of this story is interesting because proud people would let something like the disciples' attitude stop them from going after Jesus, but not this woman. She didn't care what the disciples said. She didn't care about what they thought. She was only concerned with getting the attention of one person in this story and having him help her. And she didn't care about the fact that Jesus did not answer her immediately. She wasn't going to be deterred. The story goes on to say that she knelt before him and cried out to him, "Lord, help me." And all of this was after he said to the disciples, "I was only sent to the sheep of Israel." You know, it's easy to blow by that phrase that he says there. So what's the big deal about that comment? Well, she's a Canaanite. That means she is on the outside of Israel. So why would this guy who's been sent to Israel help her? I think if most of us hadn't given up by this point, the next part of the story certainly would cause us to. Because what does Jesus say in response to her request? He more or less calls her a dog. And just a side note here, that is another one of those sayings you probably aren't going to find of Christ ends up on a bumper sticker or a greeting card. And another side note, if you ever do, please buy that for me. I will reimburse you for that because I got to add that to my collection. But what is her response here? She says, yeah, all I need are crumbs. Just give me a little bit of the leftovers and I'll be good. She understands what is happening here, and she understands that on the surface, it seems like she is on the outs of the people of that Jesus has come to save, that is, the people of Israel. She doesn't belong to that people. She understands that. She's fine with that. She still is going to ask him for help. She knows what he can do for her. And so this next blank, this woman is an extraordinary example of humility. She isn't worthy to consider herself to eat at the table of the master. She still wants to be connected to this guy, though. And I think we can all learn a big lesson from her, because how different is that than most of us think in our way of approaching life? We don't want crumbs. We want the best food. We don't want to be called dogs. We have dignity and pride. We want respect. In fact, we deserve respect. And we even bring that attitude into our faith life. So your next blank, how humble are we when we approach the Lord? How many times do we believe that Jesus owes us something? And again, we could learn a valuable lesson from her approach towards Christ. Next blank, she knows that this isn't just another man. She knows that Jesus possesses power only the Messiah could have. She knows that he can make good on his promises. He's got this. Do we understand what we have in Jesus Christ like she did? Maybe you've heard this story before about a guy named Danny Simpson. He was a 24-year-old man who was sentenced to 6 years in jail for stealing $6,000 from a bank at gunpoint. And an interesting point about this case is that the gun Danny used for this holdup actually ended up in a museum. That's because the gun he used was a .45 caliber Colt semi-automatic that was made in 1918. And this particular model was worth $100,000 on the collector's market. He could have avoided jail if he would have just understood what he literally had in his hands. And I think that's how many Christians live. We don't really understand what we have when we believe in Jesus. We spend our lives looking for what he brings when it's right there in our possession. But the woman in the text understood this. She understood this and she trusted him for everything, and it changed her attitude towards him. So next blanks, the woman in the text is an example of what it means to have the right kind of faith. In fact, her faith is strong enough that Jesus compliments her on it. We should be like this woman. So what does this mean, to have the right kind of faith? You know, on the surface, it would seem that the reward for her great faith is the healing of her daughter. But that's actually a byproduct. That's a secondary level kind of thing. See, faith in Jesus Christ has its own special reward and is not one that just has earthly significance. But her daughter's healing is actually not the emphasis of the story. The emphasis of this story is about her faith. She has a right faith, a faith that is focused where it should be focused, and that's on the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Her faith is not dependent on the healing of her daughter. In fact, it's the other way around. She already has faith, and it's because of that faith in Jesus that she goes to him. She wasn't part of the house of Israel. She gets that. She is willing to go and beg for help. She's fine being compared to a dog, and she's totally at ease with getting the crumbs from the table of the master. None of that matters. She's putting all her cards down on this guy. And that is faith. And that's why Jesus compliments her. She believes he is the Messiah and believes that whatever he does will be the right thing, and it will be the right thing forever. So next blanks. Does faith bring you immediate earthly rewards? No. It brings you something better, eternal rewards. By believing in Jesus Christ, you have inherited the kingdom of heaven and everything that that goes along with it for all eternity. Now, the irony is that by believing in Jesus Christ and receiving eternal rewards, it actually does mean immediate earthly rewards for you and me. Rewards like peace, assurance, knowing what forever brings for us, knowing how to live in this world, knowing how to interact with one another, knowing what our God would like for us and to do with us. And so this is what our God calls us to, a faith that saves for eternity and a faith that changes us today. Now, there still seems to be a little bit of a problem here in the story. Christ tells his disciples that he was sent for the lost sheep of Israel. So this is a first century guy talking to people of the first century in a little place way around the world. We're sitting here in Illinois, Springfield, Illinois, in the year 2018. Does this mean that we're out of luck? Well, here are your next blanks. Was Jesus sent for us? We aren't the lost sheep of Israel, are we? And here's the good news I have for you. Through faith in Christ, we are Israel. We are the chosen people of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is part of God's chosen family. He establishes covenant of salvation with the heirs of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. So now, when we read the accounts of the Old Testament, we are reading our stories because that is our family history. Next blank, God has put us into his story. We have a very distinct and unique identity, and it's as God's chosen people, and that is why it is so important that we remember the things that he has blessed us with, like our baptism, on a daily basis. Because stuff like baptism reminds us of who we are. It reminds us that God has put his stamp on us and claimed us as his own. It reminds us that God Almighty has made a promise to us that is guaranteed. It reminds us that we are united with the ruler of everything and that he is on our side. So next blank, that is a promise to you made by the God of all things. And that's my prayer for us, that we would take a page out of this lady's playbook, that we would have humility in front of God, and that by being humble in front of God, we would have a right kind of faith, and in turn, we would inherit all of the things that he wants to bless us with, and they are wonderful things. And I'd like to close with this. So recently, I was watching the superhero movie Avengers Infinity War. And one of the aspects of the movie, without giving away any spoilers, is that the good guys are joining together to try and fight the bad guys. I know, mind-blowing stuff for a superhero movie, right? But one of the main good guys, Bruce Banner, is having trouble turning into his superhero character, which is the Hulk. And he keeps trying and trying, and for whatever reason, he can't turn into the Hulk. And because of that, he's unable to help out like he normally could. And it's obviously a huge letdown to the rest of the crew because they need that power and they need his help to win the battle that they are in. And as I was watching this, it occurred to me, I am so glad that I don't have to worry about that problem with Jesus. At no point is he ever unable to do what I need him to do to make sure that I am eternally taken care of. At no point is he unable to make good on his promises. At no point does he try and get something done and can't. He is the complete and totally reliable Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world and defeat death for anyone who will believe in him. And this is an absolute promise from our God, and he wants us to live in that so that he might bless us eternally with his absolutely sure and certain gifts. And that's what we see in the faith of the woman in our text for today and what we need to know and what we need to emulate. In a world full of uncertainties, we have a God who is absolute and he is sure and certain and reliable. So your next blanks. The woman in the text absolutely believed that Christ was the Messiah sent by God. She absolutely trusted in him. She absolutely knew that when she put things in his hands, everything would be all right. We should be like this woman. And not only can we be like her through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, we are called to be like her, knowing that God has all things in control and has chosen us to come and sit at his table and eat with him as part of his family. So last blank, God bless us to live our lives in a way that says to God, I know that you are the God of all things, and when it comes to solving my problems, both temporal and eternal, you got this. God bless us to live that way. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all of our human understanding keep our hearts and minds focused on the one who makes all things possible, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.